Welcome to Season 2 of Women Words Wisdom, a podcast for women over 50 where I share stories that recognize and give voice to the ways women are moving through life as they age. Stories about our physical and emotional challenges, as well as stories that reflect our courage and determination in order to inspire, support, and give voice to women everywhere. I hope you will find your own stories reflected here. I hope you find community. I am Robin Salcido, a working writer, photographer, and artist. Let's share our stories. And I invite you to connect with me at Our Stories Today. The link is in the show notes. Welcome to Women Words Wisdom, a podcast. It has been a long time since I have recorded. I have actually been doing a lot of restructuring in the podcast and through Our Stories Today, as well as my other sister business, RES Photography. We've been doing a lot of work, or I've been doing a lot of work this past year on what's called the Wise Women Project, which involves photography and interviews with women, ordinary women that I consider fascinating. And I promote them and their work as much as I possibly can. And then put an interview up on the Our Stories Today website. Their photos go on the RES Photography website. And so that has kept me pretty occupied for the beginning part of 2021. But I'm back! And I have a story I want to share with you. I had a moment not that long ago where I was just thinking about financial health for a variety of reasons. I honestly don't even know how it came into my mind. I was out on a walk and suddenly all of the alarm bells went off and fireworks and all those crazy things that happen when we are find ourselves in the space of inspiration or aha. And I realize it's something that it's a little bit still embarrassing to me, many of the mistakes I've made along the way with my finances as an adult woman. And yet all the things I've learned, it's very easy to think about all the things that we did wrong. But sometimes I need to reflect, go back and consider what good things came out of it, you know? And I think all of us could bear a little bit more self-love, I guess. And so I'm going to be recording a series of podcasts that mirror very much the posts that I put on the website. And this series is going to be on financial health, and we'll dive into the topic from a variety of different ways. Today, I'm going to talk about valuing women and things we might do to end pay inequality, in particular, ending this ridiculous nightmare of working for free, which I'll touch upon in a minute. The next episode, we'll talk about financial health after divorce. And that will be a very challenging one for me to write because I still feel a little ashamed of some of the mistakes that I did make after my divorce. So, but I know you'll forgive me. And I also know I'm not the only one. So today, let's talk about, I want to talk about, you know, how we can value other women. You know, for over 10 years, my work has been in the creative realm. I've worked as an editor for a travel magazine and a trade publication. I've worked as the owner of a visual merchandising agency. And today, as a writer and photographer, my work has included workshops, on-site skill development, strategy and training programs, research and writing for publications, and portrait photography. And while my professional life has evolved, there's one thing that has remained a struggle, and that's the pay. But it's not just the wrangling for a wage that values my work that drives me batshit crazy. It's the competition. Like me, many creative people compete at one time or another with others who are working for free. My first business venture was Merchandising Matters, which was a visual merchandising consultancy that specialized in working with outdoor retailers and brands. And when I began that freelance work, I did offer my services to a few businesses at no cost or for trade. My intention was twofold. I wanted to see if what I had planned would work and to build my portfolio. No one knew me. No one knew what I was capable of. It seemed like a win-win situation. My intention was to choose a few clients, get things rolling, gain some recognition, and then move on to paid contracts. And this is what did happen, for the most part. But I never stopped fielding the requests for work in exchange for exposure. What working for exposure really means is providing your expertise and wisdom to another business that is choosing not to pay you. It really is as simple as that. When I reflect on some of the work that I did for free for a major trade show organization, for publications, and this is under the Merchandising Matters figurehead, and I reflect back on it, and the first time I did some of the work I did for the trade show, it made perfect sense, you know? But then for a while, the work was expected to be done at no, you know, as a volunteer type thing. And I did get things out of it. I got to meet people. I was, you know, invited to this trade show that I greatly enjoyed. And I did make contacts that some of which did result in business. So I do, you know, want to be really careful here. There are times when that makes sense. But then through the years, when it continued to be something offered, you know, would you do this for us? And yeah, no, we're not going to pay you. I said no. Eventually I said no. And then I don't remember how much longer it was after that, whether management changed or what, but I was approached. And at that time I did start to receive payment, which was really good. The point is, I think sometimes we may start off doing something for exposure. It can then be very challenging to return and ask for a salary. So we have to be very, very clear on what our boundaries are. That's another article all in and of itself. But like I said, the bottom line is usually when you're working for exposure, if you really think about it and who's trying to hire you, the reality is they can afford to pay you. They're just choosing not to. They'd like to get you for free. You know, women tend to be especially challenged by this in my own experience. Many of us don't value our own contributions or charge far too little, struggle to be firm and direct in the confidence that we deserve to be paid what we're asking for, that we deserve to be paid a living wage. You know, I've definitely traveled this road myself. And then a number of years ago, I participated in a 90-day program for women that taught me how to price, market, and strategize. The link to this organization, it's an organization called Women in Community. It's based in Boulder, but you know, in these days, everything is virtual. I can't recommend it enough, but I'll put the link in the show notes. I invested in myself at a time when I actually had minimal income and I was in a state of pretty serious depression. I didn't know what I was going to do. My business wasn't taking off. And I wasn't even sure that was the business I wanted anymore. And It still took a few years from that, but what I immediately learned was how to manage my financial structure and my marketing strategy, and I continue to use much of what I learned in that course today. There are women and men who provide services for free because the work they do is a hobby. But when women write, design websites, teach yoga, create art, or provide their experience to others for free because they don't need the money and it's a hobby, they tend to devalue the work of women providing these services at a price, affecting women who count on this work for their livelihood. And I don't think this is something we are conscious of as much as we should be. I've worked as an entrepreneur for over 10 years, and while bargaining, I still consider it's a reasonable expectation, right? I don't believe a request for free services is. But unfortunately, my experience has put me in the space of these free requests far more often than not with other female business owners. Women who might be holding a $5 Starbucks latte while they lament their lack of a budget for the skills being offered by me. Women earn 80 cents to every dollar a man earns at best, and some studies say this discrepancy results in women working for free for an average of 2 months or more each year. That's not your vacation time. That's working for free. Women often struggle to ask for a well-earned raise or up the ante on a job offer. And their male counterparts do not. I'm going to be talking about that a little bit more later, too, and addressing the ideas. I mean, in another podcast episode, but addressing the reasons why this might be the case. And female artists often struggle more. I mean, all artists, myself included, have had conversations with potential clients who, once they are given an estimate, point out that they're really lacking in budget, or decide they think they can do it for themselves. Footnote, they usually can't. When you pay a professional, you get professional services. You know, as a photographer and writer, sometimes I'm approached with dismay that I might charge for anything, as if my work being a passion project should be payment enough. And this work is a passion project for me. I am extremely grateful to have this opportunity to do my work. But I don't want to do this, and I have no desire to do this for free. I often find myself explaining that the fee I charge for my photography or writing includes not just the final product, but the time spent creating this product. You know, that's the thing no one ever sees. The materials needed, you know, the camera equipment, the computers, the editing, photo printer, I have a very high caliber printer. And then the education and experience that's necessary to be able to do that work. Very few of us just roll out of bed one day and say, hey, I'm going to do this, and end up doing a good job. Most of us have invested quite a bit of training. And for me, I know it's, you know, education will be something I do as long as I'm doing this work. I can always learn something new. You know, and running a business also involves overhead, the space needed to create, transportation, supplies, insurance, taxes, etc. There's some estimates that say if you're in business for yourself, that you should put aside roughly 30% of any of your earnings so that you can, because you're going to pay your own taxes, you pay your own insurance, etc. A lot of people don't understand that. They don't know that what we're asking for in payment is also helping us survive. So what I've also learned is we tend to most value what we work towards, what we pay for. I know I value, if I'm going to initiate a relationship with someone who, for example, I have a woman that helps me with my social media strategy, I am not going to discount what she says to me. I'm paying her. I don't make a lot of money, so I intend to really nurture this relationship and hear what her expertise has to offer. I have found, not always, but a lot of times when I've done things, mostly in the merchandising business, when I offered my services for free, there were more times than not that those were the neediest customers who felt that they had carte blanche to, you know, reach out to me at any time. And whereas my paying customers treated me with a little bit more professional respect. You know, my choice to work for myself has provided countless riches and joy. I love the work I do and the ability to lend my creativity to share beauty with others. This work will not make me rich in dollars, but it does provide richness and experience. I don't feel guilty that I expect to be paid for the work I do. It's my profession. This is not a hobby. I also want to work with those that value this. So since I've hit 60, I've hit the brakes on the free shit, and I think you should too. If you're a younger woman, really think about this. Don't wait till you're 60 to figure it all out. Working for free hurts those who depend on the income they receive from that same work to pay their rent, provide groceries, or childcare. And they should not have to compete with people who are able to offer what they the services they have for free. That's just not fair. It's not equitable and it's not sustaining. My work with the Wise Women Project that I mentioned earlier was recently covered in our local paper, the Boulder Daily Camera. Many women reached out asking to participate in the project, and I'm booked into late May. This totally thrills me. But a few women balked when they realized I charged for the photo shoot, one even saying, "I felt honored when you said I could participate, but then to find out I had to basically toot my own horn, in a sense, was disappointing." That one blew me away. And just to be fully transparent, the photo shoot, I charge $250 for the photo shoot, and it's a professional portrait session. And in exchange, my clients, whoever's working, you know, is going to work with me on this project and also agree to be interviewed, gets all of the images. They're lightly edited. There's usually anywhere from 25 to 45 images that are then that woman is free to use however she likes, for her website, for just her social media, for her business, and so on. A comparable portrait session would be roughly $1,200. So there's a pretty significant savings. Just wanted to get that out there. Make that out front. You know, it's okay to say that paying for this opportunity is out of your reach right now. I mean, I respect that. But to respond with disbelief that I charge for my experience and work, not okay. Women might have a chance to close the earnings gap, I believe, when they start to appreciate the value other women bring to the table. You know, art is more than a passion project. It has the potential to change lives and provide hope and comfort. Think about the work of the artists and creatives who wrote the music we listened to, or the books we read this year, or whose images transported us and provided us with respite. The yoga teachers who helped us care for our inner and outer selves. Sometimes I think the proverbial buck stops with us white ladies. If you aren't willing to pay a fee for a service, don't inquire. If you, pardon me, can't afford the estimate, just say thank you. But that's out of my reach right now. I believe we must stop searching for free services and value the work of other women, women who depend upon our support in their efforts to earn a living wage. There are women, writers, painters, photographers, yoga teachers, life coaches, depending on that money to survive. The world is so much richer for each and every one of us when we work hand in hand to lift one another up. We all win. We all win then. Ladies, I have a challenge. I have a challenge for all of you. Really think about all the people you employ in your life. I mean, it could be, or even people that, you know, where you buy your coffee every day, the yoga classes you take, maybe you're fortunate enough to have a cleaning service or babysitters. Really think about the fact, you know, how do you treat them? Do you balk at paying them the amount of money that is, you know, that shows you value their services? Or are you really happy to? I know during this pandemic, we overtipped everybody because we knew that every day they came into contact, potentially could come into contact with COVID and could get sick themselves. I'm not saying everyone has to do that, but evaluate, do some self-evaluation, and consider hiring women. I mean, why not? Why not hire women to do this work? I can say that I'm toying with an idea. I don't know if it'll happen or not, but I'm toying with an idea of putting together a clearinghouse of sorts of female service providers on my website. If you have any interest in that, or you know, want to chat with me about it, by all means, send me an email. I always love hearing from you anyway. But I hope that this gave you something to think about today. If you visit the blog on Our Stories Today, you will see this article. I did a little bit of ad-libbing as I recorded it for the podcast, but the title is Working for Free, Valuing Women and Ending Pay Inequality. I also list a number of resources in the blog. So if you're in that space, by all means, go ahead and visit the website as well. But thank you for listening. And just like I said, spend a little bit of time. Think about it. Think about what you might be able to do better to help all of our female counterparts survive in the work that they're doing. Thank you.